I'm John Milkey, the Milkman, and for almost 30 years, I was on the radio playing song after song after song that talked about sex. Except, if I dared talk about sex, I would find myself in HR. It was like I was handcuffed or ball gagged, except without all the fun that goes along with that. Well, early in my career, I knew someone who could talk about sex on the radio, and did. Sue McGarvey had a syndicated talk show right across Canada, answering your questions and talking to her audience about everything to do with sex and sexuality. Well, here we are, Sue and I together. Me as someone who over the years has openly revealed bit by bit his naughty side to his audience, and she as a sex therapist, a blogger, a talk show host. Oh yes, and as the owner-operator of an international open-minded group called WeAreTheDucklings.com. Welcome to another episode of Turned On, the podcast.
Yeah.
The voice you hear is that of Sue McGarvey, who runs a great group, as we mentioned, called We Are the Ducklings. Is that across Canada, the U.S., around the world, what?
Well, I would say North America right now. Right. We would love to be around the world, but We Are the Ducklings. I certainly have TikTok followers from around the world. Oh, my God, my TikTok has exploded. I can't say sex on TikTok.
Right, it's all coffee.
Well, except that the nice girl who owns Coffee with Sue from Maine wrote me.
And no! I'm like,
yes! Thanks, Sue. I'm getting all your emails. Here.
Oh, my.
So I think so what they call the word sex on TikTok called segs. So I am segs with Sue. Or We Are the Ducklings, which is the name of my certainly my social group, which is
why
really
is the world so pent up? I mean, sex is a huge thing. And I get that these social media websites don't want to be lumped in with the porn hubs, etc. of the world. But really, I mean,
well, and TikTok, apparently the algorithm is used in China. It's used to talk about, you know, the government's amazing and peace, love and understanding.
Right.
And in North America, it's trying to decrease your attention span to cause chaos. But I put on, and I know it's this whole new psychology of it. I put on a video of me almost stepping barefoot on the mouse that was in the mouse trap at the cottage.
Ooh.
And that got me banned on TikTok for inciting violence for a week. So my next thing, I'm going to lose my,
it.
You know, at one point I was 300,000 followers. Now I'm 50,000. I think they're all going to be lost. I don't care. Whatever. We'll just build it again.
All
but
right.
Today, now,
changing
I want to talk
subject.
About...
Yeah, you okay. First off, I have a question.
Sure.
Last time I checked, you were and you know your pronouns are she, her. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Right. So it's fairly clear from that you do not have a penis.
I don't have a penis.
I happen
no,
to
I don't
have one.
A penis.
I happen to have
good
one
for you.
And yet you, right? Thank you. I'm very I'm very excited about it. But all this to say, you were just bragging before we went on air here that you have a new penis pump.
I am showing it. If you go on our YouTube video, you could see me stroking
it.
Oh,
my God.
I know. It came in the mail. Yay.
It
I'm
what?
So excited.
It did what in the mail?
I know. Well, the courier guy came to the door with my penis pump.
So,
I know.
Okay. So for those listening to the podcast and not able to see it, by the way, we're also on YouTube. If you go to Blast the Radio on YouTube. This looks exactly like the same replacement part I just ordered for my vacuum cleaner. I'm not even
right,
joking.
It looks like it looks like a milking machine.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it comes apart. I've been using it.
The double entendre, Sue. You're making this really difficult for me.
I know.
To not
I know. It does come apart. It's slippery right now, so I'm not going to do that. Comes apart. Comes in a little case. Comes with rings that go around the base here. The rings go around the base here. We put our penis. Look at this. Look, I've got
a dildo. Just happens to have a handy dandy penis right there.
I know. I do. It's a dildo. This is considered statistically average. It's about 6 inches erect, which is actually high for North America. Average is 4 to 6 inches. And you put lube around the
You're
end.
You're just saying that to make me feel better about myself.
Shove it in all the way to the base, baby, all the way to the base. And then you pump. And it causes a seal. And it causes the vacuum to pull the blood into those small blood vessels.
Right.
And what's called the cavernosa, the cigar-shaped tubes, fill with blood just like a garden hose. And that's how you get hard. I've had a 91-year-old client banging his 89-year-old wife and using these. I've had diabetics. I have had guys with prostate problems. This is a $600. I know it doesn't look like $600,
Are
but it's an FDA
right
approved. It's an FDA-approved $600 medical device, and it works.
I would hope so.
Trouble, yeah, I know. You're having trouble. It will pull blood in. You will get hard. Look at it. It causes this great amount of suction. And what it also does is increases your size by about a half, quarter to a half an inch. Over
okay,
long
so time. I'm going to make a confession here. I have used a penis pump before.
Right.
And I've actually injured myself with it.
Well,
like
tell me about that.
So it left me bruised. Because of course, you know, it does. It engorges the penis. It makes it larger.
How much were you using it? Were you following the instructions, Milky?
Instructions? I mean, no, but I mean, all this to say, like, isn't that kind of the idea is you put it on there and you start pumping and pumping and pumping. And the harder you go, the bigger.
You pump it for about 5 minutes a day. Yeah, really. 5 minutes a day. That's what I want. I want you to pump 5 minutes a day, every day. And then before sex, it should have enough blood flow at that point and start getting used to it. And think of it as thing. I said the small blood vessels. Take a high pressure water hose and clean out the gunk in those little tiny blood vessels. If you use a little bit every day, it really opens up the blood flow. If you use it 5 minutes before you want to use it, you know, you want to have sex with it, then you pump for again about 5 minutes. It should become purple and engorged. You don't pump for an hour to become, you know, I don't know, able to leap tall buildings with that thing.
That's exactly what I was using it for, as a matter of fact.
Pounding nails because you couldn't find a hammer, I'm sure.
No, but I mean, yeah. I wanted to, you know, my impression was, you know, this is going to make it big and huge. And it does. And it makes it all fat and plump and whatever else. And it's actually kind of scary because the thing ends up looking like the Michelin Man. but like I went so crazy with it. And I can't believe I'm confessing this, but whatever. I'm on with Sue McGarvey. So, you know, holds barred, right?
Therapist, baby. It's
but
okay.
I mean, you know, like I became blistered. Like, I mean, I had like the skin pop and whatever else. So,
yeah.
Okay.
That's. So when it's supposed to feel good, when it gets to the point of discomfort, please stop. Right?
Except,
there are all these important safety tips, right?
Except you forget I am a pain slut, right?
And that is true. And you are, you know, if anything you are, whatever you do, it's type A and it's, you know, balls to the wall. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. So we're going to talk about 5 minutes a day about how it solves your problem. And it's a really great thing. I love my new penis pump. So I'm trying to get a really good discount so we can, you know, sell them on BTR and, you know, make the world. All our listeners are going to be hung to their friggin' knees and we are going to walk around with raging erections. And every listener is going to be thinking, I want to listen to this radio station and I want one of these penis pumps and I'll see what I can do about discounts. Just I'm working on it. But in the meanwhile, I wanted to show it to you because it just came in.
That's fantastic. All right. Listen, by the way, for those listening on the podcast, blasttheradio.com is a radio station where Sue and I also air segments of this podcast and where we have a whole lot of fun with, show hosts from around the world, some of whom I think will probably be in shock to find out that we just had this conversation, but we did. So there you go. It's a training device, not a one and done.
No, it's not the one you get at the sex shop. It's a medical device. There's a monster difference between the two of them. So it's all good. But, you know, give it a try because, you know, it's I always say that, you must spend, most guys spend a minimum of $750 a year on Viagra. So you do $600 and you get it once, especially if it can help support Viagra and you can cut your dosage in half or a quarter. It's a good thing.
She is Sue McGarvey, and I'm John Milky the Milkman. And straight ahead, Sue, a certain celebrity made a sexual revelation about a week or so ago. I want to get your take on that. Coming up on Turned On, the podcast. This is Turned On, the podcast. She's Sue McGarvey, a sex therapist, renowned blogger, and also a former talk show host who talks about all things sex. I am a former radio host who comes at things from a different side, if you will.
Or the experiential.
There you go. I want to talk about Drew Barrymore and what she confessed a little over a week ago, and that is that she hasn't had sex for some time and is absolutely fine going without sex for years, in fact. Is that normal?
Well, she's a woman at menopause, right? Libido is never improved at menopause. And, you know, she's got a career and kids, but she's of a certain age. Now, Drew, when she was drinking and in her 20s,
right,
was wild. You know, she was the crazy teen. She
was standing on Letterman's desk, flashing him on his birthday. Yeah.
Hooked up with Tom Green. Come on. You know he's from our hometown and I know Tom, and there is no way that boy wasn't into, you know, everything and anything. No disrespect for Tom, if you're listening, but, you know, come on.
See, I don't know Tom that well. Tom actually used to, like you said, we're both from the same, you and I and Tom happen to be from the same hometown. We used to do a live club show on Friday nights, and every now and then, you know, there'd be like 2,000 people in the room, and there was Tom Green. Just standing there being Tom Green.
I know.
Well, and we'd acknowledge him on the air, and next thing you know, you look up, and Tom Green was gone. So I never actually got a chance to meet Tom.
Okay, well, I know him enough to pinch his bum and give him a hug.
Well, okay.
And he was on a couple of my shows. I was on a couple of his. But the boy's a hound. Like, okay. No ifs, ands, or buts, in my opinion. You should watch his shows. I don't think he, you know, I think he's somewhat modest about it. But anyway, they dated. I think Drew Barrymore is at a stage where, you know, when we were in our 20s, you could touch my shoulder and I was soaked. I was good to go. You know, it is not improved. Right. It is not improved at, you know, when you hit 50. Andrew is in her early 50s. And I think that piece is what's going on. She's also in that Sheryl Crow, Stevie Nicks, you know, that song, Are You Strong Enough to Be My Man kind of thing, where she needs somebody who's not, you know, threatened by her. And, you know, for a while she was talking about how she wanted to go online dating and like, well, that's going to work, right? 50 first dates, right? With Drew Barrymore. Yeah. I think that would be hilarious.
But I get the curiosity, you know, because, yeah, if you're in a world like she is and in that bubble where, I mean, you hear all about this online dating thing, you can't, when you live a life like that, you can't put yourself on a platform like that. You're just opening yourself up for a world of really bad hurt.
Yep. And, you know, and again, it's. She's not able to do that. And so to find somebody that she can be sexual with and, well, she's got a busy career, I think is really hard for her. And so she's not able to do that as a single woman. You know, she may be able to get a friend with benefits, but even that, you start to get complicated. I bang Drew. I have guys who want to do me because I'm a sex therapist and they want the instructor to give them a, you know, a letter grade, you know, suited, I get an A. Like, I want them to have sex with me and they want to have sex with the teacher.
Right.
And I think the same thing would happen to Drew. She wants somebody who sees her, the person, and they want to do Drew the persona. You know, they want to do the ET girl. They want to do, you know, the 50 first dates and the Adam Sandler sidekick. And they want to know that's what they want.
Rolling Stones have a great song that speaks to that called Star Stars. Star fucker, star fucker, star fucker, star.
Yeah.
Interesting take on that, Sue McGarvey. Yeah, I saw her say that, make that confession publicly, and I was like, ooh, is that a health situation? But no, I get it. I've just resigned myself to the fact that I'm in this, you know, particular place. I am who I am. And yeah, it would take a special person, I think, to...
And realize that there's a ton of women. I know, in my own belief, that 50% of women want sex twice a month or less because their libido is, they're like, if they're, you know, the real work, there's a great quote by Esther Perel saying that women's sexuality is narcissistic. The minute we have to think about, you know, what we have to do, the minute we're disengaged, it has to be about us in order for us to get turned on. And so I think that she doesn't have an opportunity to do that.
Well, Turned On is the name of this podcast. We air the segments as well on my show that airs on blasttheradio.com. It's a Canadian-based internet radio station. You can hear it around the world. But if you've got questions, again, from a clinical perspective with Sue, or maybe from the kinkier, sillier side with me, if you will, how do people get questions to us?
Sue@sexwithsue.com. Bring them on.
All right, coming right up, we're going to find out the top 10 things that guys and women actually think about while having sex. This is Turned On, the podcast. I'm John Milky, the Milkman, back with Sue McGarvey, who I first met. I was just fresh out of college and doing the occasional overnight show on 54 Rock in Ottawa. And the show that was on before me was a nationally syndicated show all about sex. Sue McGarvey was the host of that show. So we've been friends for a while. And I love that you were just that person that just said, it's sex. Let's just put it out to the world and talk about it. And I know you met with a lot of resistance, and I'm sure a lot of radio stations, you know,
I wish I'd kept a journal at that time. Oh my God. It would have been a best reality show ever. Anyway.
So here we are in 2022. It's come full circle. We actually get to have conversations together, and we can have conversations about sex on various platforms on the internet. So that is what we're doing. And you have an article, I guess, in front of you right now that lists the top 10 things people think about while having sex.
Yes, I'm, you know, like I think, you know, beige, I want to paint the ceiling beige, or, do it to me, big boy.
Oh, no.
But yeah. Top 10, but here it is. Here's the clinical research. Top 10 things women, they had more than 1.5 million users that wrote in. So they asked people what
that's
the top,
out of that. Huge sample size. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Top 10 things women think about during sex are, number one, I'm not finished yet. Slow down. This is amazing. Or how much longer is this going on? Sex with an ex. Be more gentle. Sex with a celebrity. I want to try another position. I have to work in the morning. And where the hell did he learn how to do that? Or they learned how to do that.
Okay, yeah. The ones that jumped out at me, sex with an ex.
Well, for men, it's number one, sex with an ex.
See, I get that. I have... Yeah, my wife listens to this podcast. I have certainly found myself on occasion remembering back to certain occasions with exes that still to this day excite me.
I know.
And I'm sure we all.
As long as you're present with your partner. But for a lot of people, that's what they need in order to turn them on, is to think about that crazy, passionate. So for men, it's sex with an ex. This is amazing. I need to calm the hell down. Sex with a celebrity. Sports. How's my team doing? Sex with a friend or work. Yeah.
Really?
Sex with a friend or work colleague. I wish she would talk dirty to me, or they would talk dirty to me. When can we do this again? I have to work in the morning, and this is not as good as usual.
Okay, the talk dirty thing. Wasn't it a Friends episode where they were trying to teach? No, it was a Big Bang Theory episode where Leonard is on a video conference call with his girlfriend. She's in India, and she's trying to teach him to talk dirty, and he just can't do it. How do you have that conversation with
I think you practice.
Partner?
I think most people aren't good at it. Some people are. I had a woman come and teach the We Are the Ducklings, which is my social group, a class on how to talk dirty, which was epic. I should get her again.
See, I'm good at it, but I'm not always necessarily convinced that the person on the other end of my dirty talk is being receptive to it.
Well, it's about if you're an audio learner like I am, like that's
as
hot. But
yeah,
if you're not, yeah, if you're not, you're like, I would much rather have the black and red lingerie than talk dirty. But for most people, that's fun. I say be simple. Pick up an erotic book and read it. Like, you can do that. As long as you don't, you know, read it a few times ahead of time so you're not blushing or stumbling
or
over the word penis.
Even better, you know? So pay attention to what your partner is actually reading.
Yeah, I'm into that.
You know, and then when they're done with that book, pick up that book.
Uh-huh.
And now you're getting into the zone of what language it is that they actually like. Because that's always my fear. Not ever, like there are some women I've been with who love being told that they're, you know, that they're dirty or that they're a slut or whatever else. And they love that kind of talk. But not everybody does. And so the fear, I think, is if I go there with someone, you have to understand what their love language is, right?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, and what the situation is, too. Like, if it's a slow, romantic kind of encounter, language like slut, etc., is probably not something that they're going to be receptive to. But, you know, calling them, you know, a lover or, you know, using terms like that probably will be more in their realm.
Yep. They want to, you know, it's just realizing that people sometimes need to think about other things and having a story, or for some people, putting porn on together or doing things that help get, because you need a certain level of arousal.
I want
to get
that
into
so
it,
much.
And another level of arousal to get off. And so you want to have somebody who's going to play in that space.
I have never, ever once watched porn with a partner. What? I know.
I am sorry.
I know. And I want that. It just, it can seems I send you so
some lovely,
hot.
Can I send you some lovely starter clips? Maybe we should post some on our podcast. Yes, let's post some on our podcast.
Okay.
There's something called the massage room. And so if you have a female partner, they all love that one because it's, you know, they're getting a massage and it's the hunky massage therapist and the guy needs to buy you dinner first. But, you know, his hands go a wandering or there's another woman that it goes a wandering and And then, you know, there's some that are elegant, especially ones that are filmed by women that are fun, that are receptive to a variety of different kinds of people, as opposed to going, you know, boom, 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 which we then go beige. I want to paint the ceiling beige because it's not about poking us.
So whenever I've been to a swingers club, they always, always, always have porn movies playing. And I've always looked at that gone, you know, and thought that's really amazing because not every woman is as receptive to that. That's very much a guy thing, I think. More and more women now are into it. But the women, certainly in my age group, or the women that, you know, like my wife, for example, is very much into, it's got to have a storyline. It's got to have a plot. And the production value of traditional porn hasn't been there. But then you look at, you know, like current porn stars like Maitland Ward. I don't know if you're familiar with Maitland Ward.
Maitland Ward.
She's a great story. First off.
Yeah.
Number one on my, if I could. Maitland was on, I remember the sitcom Boy Meets World, like late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, she had a minor role on that. She's, you know, she was the main star's, you know, best girlfriend and would sort of help him and advise him on, you know, oh, this girl he had a crush on, here's how to get to know her kind of thing. Anyway, she was in the whole Disney realm for a long, long time. And she finally just got to a point in her life where she's like, you know what? I want to act, but I want to do more adventurous things. I'm just going to put myself out there as a full-fledged porn star. And she did. And now she's got a book about the whole thing. But she produces films as well. And the production quality of them is much more on par with what you would see at a regular cinema. The sound is done right. And there's actually a plot and a storyline to the whole thing.
They've been doing them. I remember going to the Guelph, you know, sexuality conference and seeing Camille, who was a very big porn star out of New York, and then she turned into a director, and her stuff was really fun and funny and engaging. So I will send you a few.
All right.
And maybe you need to sit down with Mrs. Milky and go, huh, Sue said, blame it on me. Completely blame it on me. I need to do some research for our Turned On show. Will you watch this with me?
But I think regardless of, you know, where on the top 10 list you fall, whatever the things you're thinking about, I think a lot of it is just, you know, we'd like to be thinking of other things. How do we engage with our partner to have that conversation and really express, especially if you're in an established relationship, but now, you know, I want to paint the ceiling gray. Well, why am I thinking about that? Because I'm unable to have that, or I'm not brave enough to have that conversation with my partner about, I heard this thing about Maitland Ward, you know, and I'd kind
of
like to watch that with you.
See one of her clips. I'm going to look her up.
It's a weird conversation to have. I think people just need to get over that.
But I think you need to not do it when you're about to have sex. I think you need to do it, you know, when you're going for a walk or when you're driving or you're saying, hey, I was listening to this great podcast called Turned On and they were talking about this. Have you ever wanted to, you know, watch a clip together? Is there anything you're watching on your own? Is there porn you're seeing? I've always asked the partners I'm with, hey, what porn are you watching? Send me the clips. I want to know. For the same reason, it's good to know what they're watching because it'll help you turn them on.
Things I should have asked you back in the early days when we first knew each other, hey, Sue?
Back a long time ago, sweetie. All right, I'm feeling the love.
I am too. Please leave us a review on the podcast. Let us know what you think. 5 stars, if you feel it's worthy of 5 stars, that just helps this podcast get discovered and show up higher in search engines. We're on iTunes, we're on Google, we are on Spotify. And we want your questions as well. We're happy to answer any questions about anything. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're reading, what you're watching on porn, your comments on the conversations we're having. Sue is always checking her email, and the address is
sue@sexwithsue.com. Give me a ringle. Okay.
A what now?
A ringle.
A ringle.
It's not a dingle. It's not writing me. It's a ringle.
Oh, I thought that's when I touch you on your shoulder. That's what happened to you.
Or the dangly piece at the end of your back of your throat, something like that.
Let's not talk about my dangly piece. Hey, we'd love for you to leave us a review. And if you think this podcast is worthy of 5 stars, we'd appreciate that as well. It helps people find the podcast wherever they're looking. Google, Spotify, Apple, etc. I'm John Milkey, she is Sue McGarvey, and we've got more conversation to come on Turned On, the podcast. Okay, so Sue and I go to break, and she says, I want to talk about erotic embodiment work. And I'm like, I have no idea what that even means. Stop using fancy language like that, Sue.
Okay.
So, dumb it down
for
me.
So it's not hookers, but and they don't like to be called sex workers, although in theory they are.
But that's how I hear sex workers refer to sex workers.
I know. But there's lots who are really smart. Like, I'm meeting a number of women, you know, for a while. There were, you know, there were strippers that turned into, you know, people who did a lot in the champagne room.
Sure.
And those girls often didn't have the opportunities. And some of them, you know, I met one who was putting herself through med school doing it. And if I had the body, I'd think, what a great idea. Mm-hmm. But I've also met a lot of, and people had this vision of what, you know, sex work was about or what porn stars were about. And it's often women who really like sex and who entertain businessmen in the afternoon. And I had an experience Thursday night where we did a filming for, as I'm doing this, Grown Up Sex Ed. And I did a film with 15 women on how to do oral sex. And I had a sex worker bring her partner in and teach the class. It was magic. Absolute. Oh, I know. Right?
Wait.
Yes, you missed the porn shoot in my basement.
I didn't get the invite to the porn shoot in your basement is what I'm saying.
It was all women. So all women. And it was engaging and fun and funny. And you know what happened? Ms. T is her name, but she goes by, she calls herself an erotic embodiment coach, and she doesn't want to be called a sex worker. And she's talking about, she works with couples, and she's smart and cool and interesting and really works on pleasure and whatever that looks like. So she started doing rub and tugs, right? That means a massage, you roll over. Yep. You get a happy ending, or what they call in the US, a jack shack.
A what?
A jack shack. That's what they called them in the southern U.S. I know, right? The jack shack. Okay. Anyway, you get all it. Right. So she brought in her partner, who is at least 10 years older than her and had to be in his mid to late 50s. And he's got 15 women staring at him on a massage table and obviously can't get hard. Had a little bit of performance.
Are you kidding? I would like, you'd never get me soft again.
I know, but he was really brave, and it was and I was really happy it went like this, because that's reality for people over 40. Like, that's a reality.
Yep.
And then we finally put blindfolds on him, put headphones, sound canceling headphones, and got two other women. So got him a six-handed massage. Oh yeah, then Mr. Happy was game to go.
Oh my God.
But I know. So she did the whole and she's edging him enough, which is keeping him right on the edge to keep him interested, because I'm doing it as a class, because I want it to be somewhere between, I don't want it porn and I don't want it to be a boring doctor's video. This is
I'm doing it as a class sounds like Sue McGarvey speak for I'm reading Playboy for the articles. I'm just saying.
I want to teach great sex education that is not your mother's sex ed class. I'm always in the middle. I don't want to do a porn shoot. That's, again, it offends me. I've been to a porn shoot and it was sex for the first 5 minutes, and after that it wasn't.
I'm always in the middle too, by the way. It's a fun place to be. Just saying.
It's a fun place to be. So I want to do this. So it was fascinating to watch and to do this, but there's a whole group of women that are starting to, you know, these are the people that have done there. Some of them are sex surrogates, which means they have sex with clients in a clinical setting. Some of them are somatic sex workers. So if you're looking for one, look up somatic.
How do you spell that?
S-O-M-A-T-I-C, somatic.
Okay.
And it's about sensuality. They may not have sex with you, but they're going to touch you in a sensual way. It's about you getting in touch with your body. And it's not sex work. So it kind of stays on that elegant way. And they do a lot of couples. And if you're looking to play, but think, oh my God, I can't go to like some creepy hooker, I want it. There is a whole group. Look up somatic in a town near you.
I find that really fascinating, because I have a friend of mine, and I've been at Sexapalooza with this person. Uh-huh. So that's a trade show. I've had this person into my home. We've done podcast conversations. I have never been able to really fully understand what she means when she says that she is a sex surrogate. And I try and get her to explain it, and it still seems to just, it doesn't register with me. You just completely explained it. Okay, so my question from there is, first off, you know, the world probably doesn't even know that this exists. But now that we've had this conversation, how does one go about finding sex surrogates?
Look up sex. If you're in a state or, you know, in Canada, it's really a gray area. But in the states, different states. There's that great movie with Helen Hunt and the disabled guy. Oh, she was super smoking hot, still in her 50s. Forget the name of that movie, but oh, look it up.
I'm the wrong guy to ask about that.
Helen Hunt, sex surrogacy. Google that.
Okay, well, unless it has to do with Maitland Ward, I'm not the person to answer your questions about movies.
Right. Yeah. So she is, you know, so she only has, you know, only will see the client three times. In this case, the client was really profoundly disabled and wanted to have a sexual experience. And so she does it in a loving, clinical kind of way, and it only sees them for three times. This is not a relationship. This is not prostitution, and she has to follow the rules.
So what differentiates that from prostitution then?
Well, there's an association. She's trained to work with people who've been abused or are disabled or who are struggling to find a way to express themselves sexually. And again, it's sex surrogacy, somatic sex work, and it's right on the edge. As a clinical sex therapist, I'm more of a psychologist, so I don't do that in my office in any way, shape, or form. Right. But I send people to people like my friend Ms. T, and to people in the industry who are doing that. Who sometimes they wear rubber gloves that may be able to touch them, that feels more clinical, and it's about talking to them through their body experiences. And I watched her talk through this while she's giving oral sex and a hand job in front of a room full of 14, 15 women who all had funny questions and wanted to interrupt and dialogue. And the thing was magic. And I think more people need to see that.
All the more reason why you need to subscribe to this podcast so that you get the latest episodes or listen to us. We air this Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays on blasttheradio.com. But more importantly, look into joining Sue's group, because I can't think of anyone else out there who is, you know, putting on, I don't want to say shows, I don't want to say clinics.
No, I'm like,
what's the
a blowjob class. Come on, tell it like
okay.
It is. It was a blowjob class.
I mean,
for women who, I had a 75-year-old woman in the audience. I had a 50-year-old woman who'd been married for 25 years. She says, I have never done this. She says, I'm going to go blow my new partner's mind.
All right.
So, I know.
Blowjob classes. One more reason why you want to join Sue's group. We are theducklings.com. And listen, I think it's becoming more and more apparent that we're pretty open-minded when it comes to sex and sexuality. So whether it's swinging or BDSM or kink or something on a clinical side of things, if it pertains to sex and sexuality, we'd love to hear from you. Sue, where can people email you?
Sue@sexwithsue.com. I'd love to hear from you.